Australia has recorded the highest number of Indigenous deaths in custody since 1980. New data from the Australian Institute of Criminology shows 33 of the 113 people who died in prison or in police custody in the last financial year were Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. Lydia Thorpe is a Gunai Gunditjmara and Jabwarang woman and an independent senator for Victoria. Lydia Thorpe, welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks for having me.
What was your reaction when you saw this data last night?
Well, it's no surprise. It's an absolute national disgrace. And to have 339 recommendations from the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody in 1991 not implemented, we're going to continue to see Aboriginal deaths in custody. So the Albanese government needs to take this on board as a priority, and we need to see action. We need to stop seeing these deaths occurring, and the recommendations will end these deaths if they are implemented.
The Federal Attorney General Michelle Rowland told the ABC that the Albanese government is deeply concerned about the data, and she said that the disproportionate representation of First Nations people in prisons is unacceptable, and that's the key driver of overrepresentation of First Nations deaths in custody. Do you think that's right to attribute deaths in custody as a result of overrepresentation in the prison system?
Look, there's a number of reasons why Aboriginal people are dying in custody. Racist police is certainly a contributing factor, and the fact that states and territories are only going tougher on crime, which only exacerbates the problem. We know that hanging points is a massive problem, and that is one of the 339 recommendations that have not been implemented. We know that hanging points, particularly there's one in Queensland that's been used 20 times. I've raised this with the Attorney General herself. I've raised a number of examples of why there needs to be oversight, national oversight of the recommendations so that we can end these deaths. So there are a number of contributing factors.
I seem to recall in the past when this has come up that the federal government has said, look, ultimately things like hanging points have to be dealt with by state and territory governments. It's in their jurisdiction. The federal government doesn't have jurisdiction over prisons in state and territory governments. Is it incumbent upon state and territory governments here when it comes to implementing that Royal Commission recommendation?
The federal government have got away with that very poor excuse for three decades. That is a lie, because the federal government have constitutional power to set national minimum standards. Now, the Minister for Indigenous Australians has indicated that she may penalise states and territories through funding arrangements if they don't meet closing the gap targets. Well, allowing or killing our people in custody should be a trigger to stop funding these states and territories. And if we look at the Northern Territory, closing the gap money went to the Northern Territory Police to the tune of over $200 million. Now, that $200 million could have been better spent in communities to self-determine our own solutions. So for the feds to handball this to states and territories is a cop-out, and it's been proven that the feds have constitutional power to override states and territories and set minimum standards, like removing hanging points.
The Northern Territory government has blocked United Nations human rights investigators from visiting prisons and watch houses and from speaking to personnel in their prisons. What do you make of that move by the NT government?
Well, obviously they've got something to hide. Why would you not allow the United Nations to come in and look at the state of affairs for people incarcerated in the Northern Territory? We know that those particularly youth detention centres and the prisons are all overcrowded. We know that there is no medical supports for people incarcerated. I've heard terrible stories of prison guards holding back asthma pumps to children who are having asthma attacks. So there is complete human rights violations happening in the Northern Territory and in other jurisdictions. So the Northern Territory government are perpetrating this violence and want it hidden from the world.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast, and my guest is the Independent Senator for Victoria, Lydia Thorpe. Lydia, can I ask you about the apology, the formal apology from the Victorian Premier Jacinta Allan this week to First Nations people for past harms inflicted by the state? What do you think is the significance of a formal apology like that?
Well, apology must not be hollow. We saw with Kevin Rudd's apology that there's been an absolute increase in child removals in this country. We have 24,000 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children in out-of-home care. And we know that Jacinta Allan has introduced laws that only incarcerate our people exponentially, but also the child removal rate in Victoria is worse than anywhere else in the country. So you can say sorry on one hand, but you continue to perpetrate the violence with the other hand. So I find an apology like that to be very hollow. And, you know, it's a nice to have, but it's got to follow action and justice for our people.
Lydia Thorpe, appreciate you joining me on Radio National Breakfast this morning. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Lydia Thorpe is the Independent Senator for Victoria. And if you or anyone you know needs help, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14.